Exeter supervisors declare, we don't need no stinking contracts. Part 1. September 27, 2022. By Jerry Gelf. In a bold contradiction of board policy and Pennsylvania law, the Exeter Township supervisors voted last night 4-1 to supersede the contract with Keystone Municipal Services, which is the document that spells out the employment terms of interim township manager Betsy McBride. The catalyst of the action was once again Supervisor Dave Hughes, who called into question both the number of hours billed by KMS and the contractual limits on hiring and firing by McBride, specifically hiring. Hughes maintained that the board hired based on recommendations, and that McBride had hired without authorization a friend of Mr. Gardella in the right-to-know office without board approval. The discussion began during the manager's report section of the agenda, when McBride was set to lay out her plans to hire people in different areas of the township government. Solicitor Chad Schnee held that Hughes' assertion that the contract insists the board must approve was not in conflict with the township ordinance that sets the rules for the township manager. Schnee also said that the board can counter her decisions after the fact with a vote. Board Chair George Bell asserted that the contract is not in conflict, and that the board needn't, thumbs up or thumbs down, it be hired by the manager. It was then that member Dave Vollmer made a motion to supersede her contract, in essence invalidating the employment contract with KSM. This vote conflicts with long-standing board policy, which this board and others have maintained, that if something is not on the agenda, it cannot be brought up for a vote. We've seen this many times, and this vote was clearly not on the agenda. Is this political expediency? Is this to make their lives simpler, so they don't have to be bothered with details or with properly carrying out the duties of the office to which they've been appointed? Perhaps the people's voice should be heard? We need to call on the board to clarify this. Vollmer and the board, with the willing assistance of the solicitor, may have stepped over lines of legality. At the very least, they've broken through the bounds of what the governing authority for these meetings, Robert's Rules of Order, allows. Can they legally change a contract with a board vote outside of the agenda, or must a new deal be written, or the actual contract changed with the agreement of both parties then properly voted on? The other issue with the KSM contract that Hughes brought up was that an invoice had been received for an additional $20,000 for McBride's services. Hughes' contention is that the original contract, under which this invoice was encumbered, called for 23 hours of work per week by McBride, and the additional hours were never approved. Schnee mentioned that the contract called for approximately 23 hours a week. Hughes later read the contract to state up to 24 hours per week. McBride said that she'd had conversations with three board members and gotten their assent to break through the hours. Hughes asked if it was a vote. McBride admitted that it was individual conversations, after Hughes asked if three members had met outside of a meeting, therefore violating the Sunshine Act. The conversation then evolved to what a hard worker McBride is, how she makes herself available on weekends, and all the emotional side that doesn't address the actual contract language. Once again, a refusal to properly cross T's and dot I's, just do it for the sake of expediency and laziness, which is what this board is becoming known for. The question arises for the citizenry, and the people at Reading Hospitality Management, if this board will skirt issues with this contract to get what they want, increased spending for the people at KSM at the peril of the taxpayer, what issues will they willingly skirt with RHM's contract? How much are they willing to spend to get their desired outcome? Good for RHM, perhaps not so good for the taxpayer. Continued later today, in part 2.